Hey, party people, you're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. It is 5:55 in the a.m. Your old pal Ralph here with Psycho Mike sitting in for Kevin and Bean. Hello. While they're on vacation. And ordinarily here, we would do the showbiz beat. But last week, I was lucky enough to talk to the star of one of the biggest movies this summer, by far. Last week, we talked to Shia LaBeouf, who stars in Transformers, which opens today. So in case you missed the interview last week, while Kevin and Bean were also on vacation, we thought we'd take the opportunity to replay it for you. Here's what happened when we talked to Shia LaBeouf.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, buddy?
Let me just say it's the best show on the planet.
Oh, stop it.
I'm from Los Angeles, and I worship this show.
Oh, you're very kind, Shia. Yeah, thanks, man. So much, man. What a year this has been for you, huh?
It's been an insane year. Next year's going to be horrendous. I'll be doing phone interviews from jail.
Are you already planning your downward spiral?
Yeah, it's all downhill from here. It's going to be fun to watch me, the complete demise of myself.
What's the year been like for you? It's got to be a little heady experience to go through all of this so much so quickly.
It's like floating on a cloud, you know? It's like, I don't know how to describe it, but the stuff you dream about, it's like you almost don't want the dream car. You know, the dream car is supposed to be the dream car, and once the dream car just becomes the car...
Then what do you do?
Then what do you do?
Right,
exactly.
Right.
So, you know, I don't dream about unicorns because I go to set and meet unicorns. You know, I dream about, like, bagging groceries, you know, things, just regular stuff.
Speaking of dream cars, Transformers opens up on July 3rd.
Right.
I cannot wait.
What
for
a sick
movie.
Segue. That was a beautiful segue.
Well, thanks so much.
I had to point that out.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, man.
And you, of course, as Sam, get your dream car. You got a Camaro, right? It's a little bit of a beater, but
right.
it's got a few things that are in surprise for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, any guy with a Camaro, even if it's a piece of crap, is a cool cat.
That's right. Here's a little clip from Transformers.
Last night at the station, you told the officer your car transformed.
Here's what I said, that my car had been stolen, but it's fine now because it's back. It came back.
So what do you kids know about aliens, huh?
Gentlemen, I want to introduce you to my friend, Optimus Prime.
Oh, come on!
Yeah.
That even looks good on radio, Shia. Now, were you a big Transformers fan when you were a kid?
Huge. My childhood was Transformers, Yogi Bear, and Michael Jackson.
Well, I'm surprised because you started young in the business. You were an actor from the age of like 9 or 10, right?
Yeah, but Transformers for me, you know, you got to think about when the show was airing. It was like 84 to 87.
Oh, right.
And I was born in 86, so I was like born into it.
Right. So dealing in this type of film, working with Michael Bay, I have to assume that because of the nature of the CGI and that kind of stuff, you dealt with a lot of looking into space and pretending stuff was there that wasn't really there, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But again, this is a CGI at a whole different level. This is the best CGI ever conceived of and created. This is a whole different way of doing it, where they would build half the robot and then they'd create the rest so your eye can't tell which part has been created and which part's really there.
So you weren't just looking at some tennis ball hanging from a string someplace. You actually had something to work with.
Well, there were scenes where we couldn't, you know, we were moving so fast that we couldn't bring the robots in. So, yeah, there was a lot of that, too.
Is that a particular kind of challenge as an actor when you're working on a set like that where you don't really have something to work opposite? It's more imagination?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the Elephant Man, you know, but it's not easy either. I mean, it's a different way of doing things. It's wild to see, like, John Turturro or John Voight, you know, come into something and not have it completely down, you know, and learning how to do it on the day. It's wild to watch guys at that level go through those things.
Right. Speaking of your co-stars, Megan Fox.
Oy.
She's a fox.
Talk about your special effects right there.
She's not real. She's CGI.
She can't be real. She's just way too hot.
Yeah, she was created in a lab.
That's not too bad going to work every day working with her, huh?
No, she's a cool person, too. I know people say that about, like, really hot girls like that, but she's really a cool person.
Of course she's cool to you. You're a movie star. She wouldn't be cool to me if I met her in the street.
No, you'd love her. She's a cool, cool chick. She loves the show. She K-Rock is her world.
She would have security escort me right out of a bar if I ran into her.
Nah, you'd be a rock star to her, man.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Oh, well, hook me up then. What's up with you, Shia?
That's my next thing. I'm going to hook you guys up. Three-way phone calls.
Hey, listen, you working on Indy 4 right now?
Thursday
you start.
Yeah.
How exciting is that?
It'll be the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I don't know what it's going to be like first day when, like, George Lucas, Steven Spielberg are behind the monitor and, you know, Harrison Ford's there and they call action, you know? And that's just a weird, I don't know what that's going to be like.
And now you play Indy's son in this, right? Are we allowed to say that or is that
no,
not
No, you're not allowed to say that because
okay.
That's not real.
Okay, fair enough.
No.
But I've heard rumors, though, that...
Well, there's rumors about a lot of stuff.
How about the rumor that maybe you're going to be past the fedora, that the Indiana Jones series will live on and you're going to be the new star?
That's a crazy rumor. There's only one Indiana Jones, and his name's Harrison Ford.
All right, Shia.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold you to that. If there's another one and you're the star, I'm going to come back and say, you lied, man. And we'll talk about it then. Hey, listen, best of luck with Transformers. You're not going to need it. It's going to be the biggest money-making blockbuster of the summer by far, obviously.
I hope.
But great work in Disturbia, too. I mentioned it earlier. It was one of my favorite movies of the year.
Thanks, man.
And you were great in Surf's Up. I mean, you're just on such a roll. Keep doing that good work.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Shia. Have a great
day. Guys.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Hey, shh. I'm trying to watch the movie.
I want to tell you that yesterday, late afternoon, I went to see The Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
Or Zodiac.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Was it good?
It was good.
Excellent.
Very good. But there were five guys sitting directly in front of me in a fairly empty theater.
Right.
And we got into a texting confrontation.
Because they were texting?
Yes.
Were they texting each other? Because that's what Dave would do.
They might have been. I don't know.
Were they texting
sure.
Dave?
I'm...
You know, I'm torn because I know Dave, who's a really nice guy, who does that. But these were just snot-nosed teenagers.
Yeah.
I try to be polite about it. I lean over and say, you know, that's really distracting.
Because
I don't tell
why?
Them
because you
to
can
do.
See the
yeah,
screen?
Yeah, totally. Okay. It's like shining in my eyes. Plus, they had the Razer phone with the bigger screen, and it's like totally distracting.
Did you think the theater is completely empty? I'll just move?
No. I was there 20 minutes before they sat down. I was so pissed.
Who cares who's there first? That sounds like you're closer
moving.
To the light. Turn it off. That's
yeah, but come
that's
on.
Childish.
Now we're like 25 minutes into the movie.
So what?
I'm
stand
not
up
moving.
And move. That's
but
the easiest
the truth
way.
Is Lisa shouldn't have to stand up and move.
No,
the truth
she
is
shouldn't.
They shouldn't have been texting.
The truth
but
is people should be a little more
of
polite.
Of course they should. But if they're not going to be, and they clearly aren't, it's a very simple fix.
So then the guy next to the guy who says a very not sorry, sorry.
Right.
And finally puts it away. Then the guy next to him 15 minutes later does the same thing, right?
Right.
So my friend leans over and he's not as polite and he says, shut your phone.
Nice.
And the guy says, no.
Did you get in a brawl?
And he said, shut it. And then he kicked the back of his chair.
What in God's name is going on? There's seven
we
of you
angry.
In the theater.
Wait, the movie's going on?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, they were talking throughout the movie. I mean, they were clearly not of a mental capacity to actually sit
okay.
through a complex movie like this.
Okay.
They should have been at like a cartoon.
So here's my point to you.
So then,
all right, go ahead.
The point is, don't tell me what
no, go
to
ahead.
Do.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Just telling you the story.
Right.
So then later, because then the guy finally puts his phone away, and that was the end of it. But then later, my friend says, God, I don't know what I would have done if he stood up.
Yeah, no kidding.
I was like, I don't know either, but I'm a green belt. I'd be right there with you.
Oh, man.
This would have been the chance for to use your kung fu,
would have been
Lisa.
Awesome.
Oh, that would have been good.
I was really ready to go. It was just so.
Of
well,
course.
That's
I don't know
that's
why
annoying.
I get so annoyed by it.
I don't either.
It's just one of those buttons, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Because people are so rude today, and they just.
Listen,
they just
I
don't
agree.
Care about, you know, what they want to do and who they want to text during a movie is so much more important than the fact that we also paid money to sit there to watch the movie and not watch them. In fact, one of the guys said, just watch the movie. And it's like, I would if you would stop shining a light in my eyes.
Lisa, yeah. You should have used your ninja skills and you should have left them in a crumpled heap. That's
yeah,
what you
should
have done. All five of them.
I could
yeah,
have just touched the pressure point, you
yes.
know, like Spock does. And just. And then I said to my friend, I said, you should have just grabbed that phone and run like hell. I mean, by the time they
oh,
even knew what
that
was happening,
is funny.
You could be in another theater. They never find you.
Just run into another theater and throw it.
Yeah.
And they'll never find
that
it.
That would be awesome.
That's a great idea.
I would so back you.
I'm very disappointed that you did not
Me
use
too.
Your green belt skills. I mean, this is why. You have them is so that you can make things done.
Boys, with great talent comes great responsibility.
Yeah, but well, wax on, wax off. What good is it
yeah,
if you're not going to
I'm a lethal weapon. I,
kick some
you know,
ass.
Unless someone really threatens me, I cannot do it.
First but time when, they start you, texting, you stand up and you go, whoa! And then they
what
go,
what
oh,
put, to, put do it away. To be a lethal weapon if you're going to end up being as effective as I would be. You know what I mean? You're just sitting there like a lump.
My other thought was, you know, just do crazy person. Just go, ah! Wouldn't that freak people out?
Well, I would think so, and I would also recommend that.
Because they wouldn't know.
Just
they
crazy
think you were
person.
Crazy. They wouldn't know what to expect.
I like it.
Because being polite does not work.
Of course
clearly.
Not. But see,
nobody has respect for
here's
that.
The thing. You're right. I'm not saying you're wrong at all. But what I am saying is, can't you make the judgment immediately that they don't care that they're being rude? And so just take you know, other actions so that you can solve it yourself. Because they're not – you can say whatever you want to them. It's not going to work.
Lisa doesn't want the terrorists to win, though. That's what's going on here. Because then they get to continue to exercise the bad behavior with no penalty.
Right, but Lisa's not going to give them a penalty. She's
well,
not the penalty
giver. Well, if I
have to
get up and move, I'm kicking the heck out of their seats first.
Oh, you'll show those seats.
Boom, 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 boom.
What you need to do is you need to stand up in your kung fu stance
yes.
and give them the crazy person yell. Both.
That's what I'm going to do
so
next
that they
time.
Look into your eyes and they go, oh, my God, she's going to kick our heads off. And they actually leave in fear.
That would be great.
Oh. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I was, you know, promoting owning a gun. And you were making fun of me, Lisa May, but it would have come in really handy.
That's
yesterday.
True. I just make that little clicking noise.
No,
when
I
you
just pulled it out of your purse and just pointed it at him and said, who's the boss now?
How about if you put away your
snot-nosed bitches?
Put away your camera and your phone now. Look at this.
You want to hold out the two-way? I got the 44 Magnum.
But see, she doesn't need that because she's got the Fist of Fury.
Exactly.
It's true.
She needs to use the Fist of Fury.
Why didn't you just punch one of them?
Because I'm not, you know, I'm nonviolent.
You wouldn't have had to fight all five.
Nonviolent doesn't always work.
Well, you're right. Listen, if he'd come at me.
Oh.
You see one guy's nose shatter with Lisa May's, like, forearm shiver. The rest of them are running.
Yeah, I could true. Pluck his heart right out of his chest before he knew what was happening.
And eat it. That's
and
what you should have done.
Yeah.
Then the other four would have gone, better put my phone away.
Exactly.
She ate my friend's heart.
See? Lisa, you were thinking. You got all these skills at your disposal. You're not using them, baby. Come on.
Now I feel bad.
All that work for nothing.
All right. Well, good times right there,
that
Lisa.
That was fun. I really enjoyed that.
All right.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
And if there's one thing we've learned from talking to our next guest, it's this. Apparently, we haven't done the research. Now, here's a story that Ralph broke for us yesterday that I had not heard about previously, and this is why I listen to K-Rock in the mornings, because you learn stuff like this. A Scientology leader named David Miscavige, who I don't know anything about, says that Tom Cruise has been told that he is the Scientology's Christ-like figure. He has become the central figure of the religion of Scientology, apparently.
I think this guy, David Miscavige, or I don't know how to say his name either, but I think he's the head of Scientology. I mean, I think he's the man. And he's saying that Tom Cruise is the Jesus figure.
So what's up with that? We asked producer Lightning to line up the great Tom Cruise. He's on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Tom.
I'm Jesus.
Look, I know you're committed to your religion and you're the face of Scientology for millions of people around the world. And you do everything you can to promote it, Tom. You believe in it. You think it's helped you. But isn't it a little wacky to turn yourself into a messiah?
First of all, let me say, bless you, my son.
Right.
And I would like to say I'm happy to take this responsibility onto my shoulders.
Okay, listen. No one's giving you this. What happened?
Kevin,
the leader of your church.
Kevin, don't be glib.
Okay. The leader of your church says Tom Cruise and Jesus Christ share a lot of the same characteristics.
Very true, yes.
What characteristics exactly do you share with Jesus?
We're both short. We both hang around with 12 guys. Wearing long, flowing robes.
Uh-huh. For very different reasons, though, wouldn't you say?
Don't be glib.
All right.
Did you know that Jesus Christ communion wafers were often used as street drugs?
No.
I don't think that's accurate, Tom.
Not aware of that.
I heard true. It someplace.
Jesus hated Brooke Shields, though, right? That is true.
Well, he hated psychiatric drugs, yes.
Okay. So what do you do if you're the Jesus figure? I mean, can you perform miracles, for instance?
Yes, I can.
What miracles
Allow
can you
Allow me to read you from the book of Tom.
You already have a Bible?
Hello? Though the mission was impossible.
Well, that's the name of a movie that you did.
They called upon the last samurai to step forward.
That's another movie.
And ask them not to have eyes wide shut, but for a few good men.
Right.
To step forward, be the strong, the brave, the firm. Oh. Although the Lord be far and away, the days of thunder were yet to rain, man. And lo, they drank from the cocktail of God. They shall not be swayed by the color of money, for they have all the right moves.
Tom?
And lo, it'd be a risky business.
Tom?
And they were often considered the outsiders.
Tom.
They had the endless love of God. And taps shall not be played for them. For they peer into the vanilla sky and realize, although they be of the minority report, they can smell the fragrant magnolia.
Tom?
And so the legend begins.
Tom, you're right. That's just a list of your movies. That's not...
It doesn't make sense. There's no story there.
Religious message?
Think I'm losing it?
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. And the answer to the following question is yes.
Unless you're an attention whore. Here's a conversation we're going to have that producer Alex has titled, Women Are Whores, segment number 618. You're keeping track. And we don't know if they're whores or not yet. We're going to find out, though, as we have the discussion. It started with something that Psycho Mike told us, something that he encountered in his life a couple of days ago that I think was worth talking about. Mike, what was the story? What did you find out?
A friend of my wife's, a friend of mine as well, recently got engaged over the weekend. And her soon-to-be husband is very successful, and her ring was 12 carats, a little over 12 carats, and it is huge.
I saw a picture of it. It's ridiculous.
And, obviously my wife was very congratulatory when she found out and saw it. But as we were driving home, my wife's telling me, I love your ring more. I love your ring more. Trust me. And I'm telling you.
Because Mike's feeling inadequate.
And you know.
So Jenny lied to you. Okay, go on.
Deep down, I'm telling myself, I really don't feel inadequate because this guy makes, 10 times more money than I could ever dream of making. And so I understood that that's just par for the course. But at the same time, I'm telling, don't lie to me, Jenny. It's okay. I understand.
Yeah, she's clearly coveting. She's trying to spare your feelings. But if she had the choice, she'd have the 12-carat ring, right?
I did the best I could with what money I make. And I've heard the size doesn't matter before, but that's a whole different topic. You know what I'm saying? And so I knew she was just probably trying to make me feel better. And she's telling me, no, I'm dead serious. I'd much prefer my ring. There are rings that are just too big. They just don't look good. And as soon as I got home, another female friend of hers came over and joined in the conversation. She said, no, honestly, there are rings that are just a little bit too big. And I, like most of the men here on the show, was kind of spitting out the, sure, like you'd turn it down. Like there's a ring that you'd ever turn down because it's just too big. That diamond, I can't take it. It's too large.
Well, here's what I think, and Lisa, tell me if I'm wrong. I think that most women think that it is gaudy and too big if somebody else owns it. If they own it, it's perfect, and it's just an expression of how much my man loves me.
Alex had an interesting point, which was that's not a ring you could wear every day. It really isn't. One, I'd be afraid someone would, cut my hand off to steal it.
Yeah, you would think, right?
If you're just going out to a diner and you're wearing that ring, it just looks stupid.
Do we know
so
what it's worth?
Something you would only wear on very special occasions.
We can estimate, knowing how much I spent on like Jenny's ring and then doing the math and stuff, I'm going to say easily six figures.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I think if you're dating someone, they know your taste. Even if I were dating someone who had thousands or millions of dollars, they would never give me a ring like that. It just wouldn't be my taste.
Right,
I don't wear
then,
big gaudy jewelry.
But let's say they did and they handed you a 12-carat diamond ring. You'd say these words. You know what? Too big. Give me something smaller.
The question is, are you hurting his feelings?
Right. You would do it to spare his feelings.
I wouldn't wear it all the time, that's for sure.
And also, I think it is relative to the type of person the girl is and the lifestyle she leads. This is a girl who goes out and parties a lot. She's a clubber type chick. She's like stunningly beautiful. I mean, she's the type of girl who walks in a room and all the heads turn. And
well, there's
she's
no
very
ugly chick that ever is going to get a 12-carat ring.
Right.
Let's be honest, Mike.
She's into, like the fashion and things like that. And her husband happens to be of celebrity status. So maybe it's different.
But she's not going to wear those to the club. I mean, you don't wear that. You don't wear a 12-carat diamond ring to go dancing.
No.
You wear it at a ball
or
some kind of.
You can't even hold your hand up for more than 5 minutes.
Some kind of formal event. Is there really a ring that's too big? Really, though.
Let's talk to a Claudia real quick from Woodland Hills, who has been in a situation where she got a ring she says was too big.
Claudia, good morning.
Hi.
Hi there. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Kevin and Bean.
We appreciate it. You turned down a big rock. You turned it down.
Okay. I was already married. We were at a charity event where they have boutiques, during cocktail hour. There's silent auction and boutiques.
Right.
And I went up to this one jeweler, and she said, oh, your husband was here, and he picked this out for you. And I put it on. It was just god-awful ugly. And I picked something else that was much smaller.
So was it ugly only because it was really big?
The color was ugly.
Oh, well, so you didn't like the stone or anything like that. It was just a bad ring.
Like if they'd been perfect diamonds, that would have been okay?
No, it was really too big.
It was just gaudy. Okay.
Yeah, it was gaudy.
I'm glad to hear that.
There is something. I mean, in the age of bling, we've forgotten that there is such a thing as just really gaudy jewelry and understated, elegant. Yeah, sometimes the way to go.
This is also, by the way, we're talking about 12 carats. I mean, 3, 4, 5 carats are really big.
It's huge.
Then when you get to 12,
big.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, especially if it's a solitaire. Absolutely.
That's crazy.
I think that, well, it makes me nervous. Like, the bigger the ring, the bigger the proposal. And that always makes me sketchy. Like, the guys who do the big proposals, like, it's always that, there's always that one guy every year at Dodger Stadium. Who proposes to his girlfriend on the street.
Lightning! Yeah. Oh,
and every
God.
Proposal has to be about me. Lightning!
It's really good.
Lightning, our producer. Self-esteem problem.
Okay, all right. Are you finished?
Yes.
Okay. So every girl, you know, in the stadium always cringes like, oh, my God. And it's kind of like if a guy proposes with a ring that big, it makes you wonder, like, what are you making up for? Like, how small is your penis? Because
interesting.
Basically, you're walking around as a woman with your husband's insecurities on your hand all day long. Like, look at how important my husband is. He bought me this huge ring.
So I don't want to say that women are a tough room, but it's not enough that the guy's going to go out and spend $1 million on a ring for you. But now you're criticizing because what are you making up for?
Well, wow. I mean, I would take it. But.
How you take it? How about that? Stephanie and Rosemead, good morning.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hey.
Can a ring be too big?
Never. I don't think a ring can ever be too big.
But wow. Your wedding ring, would you wear it every day if it was 12 carats?
Well, right now I am engaged, and my fiancé
poor guy.
Had
poor
proposed
sucker.
To me with a ring that was less than a carat, and when he first gave it to me, I didn't say it was too small, but I hinted at it.
Oh,
I
my God.
Looked at it.
Wait a minute.
Death to Stephanie is what you meant to say, Alex.
Stephanie,
how did you let him know that the ring he got you was too small?
Well, I was like, it's cute. And I kind of hinted at it, and it needed to be resized. So when he went to go get it resized, it came back a carat bigger, and I was like, oh, what happened? It was nice before, but yeah, this is a lot better.
Oh, dear God.
Stephanie.
That's a good way to start out your marriage, to already make your husband feel insignificant.
And poor.
Yeah.
And poor, right. Why does it matter to you so much how big the ring is? Isn't it enough that the guy is going to marry you?
Yeah, but...
No.
Yeah, but...
No, like, if nobody can even see my ring, they're not going to be like, oh, my God, you're engaged. And
but that doesn't make him not a great guy, though.
Stephanie is going to be a bridezilla, I can already tell. She's getting married for a wedding, not for a marriage. You're going to go in debt, aren't you, babe?
When is your wedding?
No. We're trying to plan it for next year.
But unfortunately, he can't possibly make enough money to give you the wedding that you deserve, so it's probably not going to happen.
No. He loves me.
All right. Do what's right.
He doesn't love you, by the way. He's got a chick on the side if he's smart. All right, one more thing for you, Stephanie.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
Okay. Coming up after the top of the hour, we'll tell you about a gay radio station. Or if you can't wait, then just listen to Ralph Garman right now with the Showbiz Beat.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Whoa.
No, you didn't. Sure. He's pretty tough when he's on tape, isn't he?
That's why he's always gone. He's never here in the studio. Giant geek. Have you ever noticed Bean is the guy who loves to talk tough? Because Bean is 1,000 miles away.
That's right.
All the time.
You are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. It is 6:52 here at the world-famous K-Rock. Kevin and Bean are on vacation. That's why we're giving you some of the greatest bits from the past. In the meanwhile, your old radio pal Ralph is still here doing the Showbiz Beat live in the studio along with Psycho Mike. So let's take a look at some of the news. Oh, those photographers are very far away. Psycho, can you bring them a little closer?
Hey, guys.
Guys.
Bring it in. Let's go.
Let's
bring
go.
It tight. Bring it in tight for the real
more,
thing.
A little more. There we go. All That's right. much better. Yes, it's finally going to happen. Eva Longoria and Tony Parker are finally going to tie the knot.
It's top-notch gay.
7707 is the date.
Oh.
Yeah. See what they've done there? It's all sevens. Lucky sevens, baby. Lucky sevens. Apparently, the final arrangements are being prepared as we speak. The two were partying with friends in Saint-Tropez over the weekend. And the festivities included a combination bachelor and bachelorette party. How gay is that?
Oh, my God.
I am not a fan of the combo bachelor-bachelorette parties. You know who has those parties? Deeply insecure people. That's who has those parties.
Yeah.
Because it means, she said to Tony Parker, I don't trust you to go out with your friends and have a good time because you're probably going to start bawling.
Right, because you know it wasn't the guy who recommended
no.
it. No. It was definitely the chick.
Yeah, he didn't say, oh, honey, I would love to hang out with you and your friends as you talk about, oh, Desperate Housewives and drink champagne. He never said that to her.
No, he didn't.
That's my Tony Parker impression.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Apparently, guests invited to the wedding are Catherine Zeta-Jones, along with her ancient husband, Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the fellow cast members of Desperate Housewives. And performing live at the ceremony, Jamie Foxx and Lionel Richie. Woo! Woo! That's going to be a party.
Go off!
I ain't saying she a gold digger.
But she ain't messing with
hey,
no broke.
Hey,
what?
Nick Lachey and Vanessa Minnillo.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw InStyle magazine this week, but they're publishing naked pictures of the two of them. Well, and by naked, I mean severely censored naked pictures. It's the two of them playing around naked in a hot tub in Mexico on vacation.
Nice.
And they got Vanessa getting out of the tub there, and they've got, sadly, they've got bars placed across her boobies and her special place.
Will we ever see the unedited pictures here?
This I've been is the question, Psycho
scouring
Mike,
the internet.
Which leads me to my next story.
All right.
Apparently, the two have retained a couple, a lawyer, to keep the shots out of circulation without the censorship. Now, rumor has it that they were doing more than just soaking in the hot tub nude during that session. They, in fact, had some hardcore sex, and there are also photos of that coupling as well. That we've yet to see hit the internet. Apparently it was all hot and steamy in the hot tub when Vanessa climbed on top of Nick Lachey.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're hoping to see those soon. But as of yet, they have not hit the internet. But it's just a matter of time, right?
I hope so. It's been long enough. I mean, those pictures surfaced a week ago, and I've yet to see the Nipso Manillo.
Sure, we see her with a knife in her hand, threatening to cut Lindsay Lohan's throat, but they won't show us her nips.
Yeah.
What is that? What is this culture of ours which raises violence above sexuality?
Yep.
Unacceptable.
The American way.
Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, apparently she really wants to make this rehab thing work. To the extent that she's moving out of her old apartment, the New York Daily News says that movers were spotted at her old apartment in Los Angeles over the weekend, and rumors have it, people close to Lindsay are saying, that the apartment used to be party central for Lindsay and her druggy pals. And now she wants to leave that life behind her, so she is cleaning out her joint and going to move to someplace more calm and someplace that doesn't have all the memories of partying and stuff.
I'd like her to clean out my joint.
Hey,
yes!
What the?
Yes!
Meanwhile, of course, Lindsay's at the Promises Rehab Center. It didn't keep her, though, from snagging an iPhone. Apparently, paparazzi caught her over the weekend shopping, and she went into a iMac store, an Apple store, and they just ushered her right to the front of the line, and she picked up her iPhone. There's people now who stood in line for hours for this thing, didn't get one. She waltzes out of rehab, picks one up, and then heads back into the center.
So. I mean, I see that as a reasonable perk of being Lindsay Lohan. I mean, it's not like it's vaccine or something, you know?
I know, but still. She should be concentrating on rehab, not on watching YouTube on her phone.
I agree. But the fact that she's even still there, I give her some credit.
Paris Hilton swore to Larry King on his show last week that she had never used drugs. Well, several sources, as you can imagine, are coming out of the woodwork to confirm that Paris is actually a major pothead. New York Daily News reports that friends are speaking up, or acquaintances rather, saying she lights up all the time. In fact, several reporters have come forward and said she smoked pot in front of them while they were interviewing her. So maybe that wasn't the best claim for her to make on the Larry King show.
I got a clip of that.
Have you ever been addicted to drugs?
No.
Taken drugs?
No.
Never taken drugs?
Mm-mm.
Liar! And are Evangeline Lilly and Dominic Monaghan already married? Star Magazine spotted Evangeline Vancouver wearing a gold band on her ring finger, so people are speculating that the deed's already done. The two stars of Lost have already tied the knot, so we'll have to follow that story for you and see what we come up with. Britney Spears has been named worst celebrity dog owner of 2006.
Over Michael Vick?
Yeah, apparently. She was reported to be sporting a puppy at the Promises Rehab Center while she was in there named Snow White. Now no one seems to know where the dog is. However, over the weekend, X17.com did catch pictures of Britney leaving a pet store with a new dog, a little Chihuahua puppy.
Hmm. As a Chihuahua owner, it hurts.
I was going
to
say,
know.
Psycho Mike, how do you feel about that? Knowing a bad puppy owner is going to be having one of your species.
Those dogs need a lot of attention and care, Ralph Garman, I'll tell you firsthand. And so I don't know if Brittany's cut out for the job.
You know what you can do with them? When you're done with them, you just flush them.
Oh.
They're like goldfish.
Oh.
Once you're fed up with a Chihuahua, just go.
No.
Right to puppy lake.
You don't want to do that. They're beautiful and loving animals.
No, they're not. They're annoying and creepy.
Well, there's that.
On every possible level. This weekend, of course, is the 4th of July weekend. Big movies coming out. We will have a special holiday edition of the Movie Beat coming up in about an hour. It is Transformers, of course, big weekend for that. We talked to Shia LaBeouf last week. We played it earlier today, in case you missed it. And License to Wed, the new Robin Williams, Mandy Moore movie comes out today as well. I can't wait to talk about that in addition. Also, big events this weekend, 7707, excuse me, across all seven continents, the live Earth show, Al Gore's Pet Project.
Yeah.
Kicks off in Sydney, Australia, continues across all seven continents, and concludes with the show here in the U.S. at Giant Stadium in New Jersey. Here's your lineup.
Give it to me.
AFI, Akon, Alicia Keys, Bon Jovi, Dave Matthews Band, Fall Out Boy, John Mayer, Kanye West, excuse me, Keith Urban, Kelly Clarkson, Ludacris, Melissa Etheridge, Roger Waters, Smashing Pumpkins, Take Back Sunday, The Police. That's all at the U.S. show. In the Wembley Stadium show in London, Beastie Boys, Black Eyed Peas, Block Party, Damian Rice, David Gray, Duran Duran, Foo Fighters, Genesis, James Blunt, John Legend, Keane, Madonna, Metallica, Pussycat Dolls, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Snow Patrol, Spinal Tap. The Australian show, Crowded House, Jack Johnson, Wolf Mother, Brazil show, Lenny Kravitz, Macy Gray, Pharrell. China show, no one of interest, Dave the King of Mexico tells me.
Yeah, right. That's according to Dave.
I don't want to see any Chinese singers.
Rihanna's not there.
In Germany, got Chris Cornell, Enrique Iglesias, Shakira, Snoop Dogg. In Japan, Linkin Park and Rihanna. South Africa show, Joss Stone, UB40. That's a lineup. Those are just some of the bands playing.
That's insane.
It is going to be televised. Is it pay-per-view or is it straight up?
You know who'd know.
Regular TV. Yeah, let's ask DNN.
KOM, is it pay-per-view?
Let's ask the Dave News Network.
What was that?
Regular TV.
Regular TV.
But it's in HD. Well, I know that much.
It's in HD. I'm going to watch every minute.
I'm going to sit in front of it and watch all 70 hours, Dave said to us.
That's something to brag about.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kurtwood Smith, who played Red Foreman, the dad on That 70s Show. He's also been in many motion pictures and TV
RoboCop
programs. RoboCop, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most recently, he was on House. He played the father of Dave Matthews, who was a musical prodigy, but a bit of a tard. On that show. It was very entertaining.
Not far from real life.
Kurtwood Smith is 64 years old today. Montel Williams, talk show host, is 51. Thomas Gibson, who played Greg of Dharma and Greg, he's 45 years old today. Connie Nielsen, are you familiar with her, the Swedish actress Connie Nielsen?
Connie Nielsen. I probably know
her. She was
in
Gladiator.
Oh, yeah.
And she was most recently on Law & Order SVU. Very attractive young lady. And Tom Cruise. Tom's birthday's today. We celebrate Tom. Tom.
Talked to him a little earlier today.
Don't be good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
You mean K-R-O-Cutie.
Proud FM is a new radio station from Toronto, Canada, and it came on the air on Monday, so to speak. And it's the country's and perhaps the world's first mainstream commercial radio station aimed at gays and lesbians.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Proud FM is set to launch, it says, this past Monday. Its website promises, quote, an eclectic mix of sounds from current hits to the anthems of the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So basically all music. As well as, quote, a splash of classical and dance music. Because those two go together well. And unique and inclusive talk programs.
So, a lot of Fergie, I bet, on a gay and lesbian radio station.
Probably,
the hell out of that Fergalicious, I bet.
We have the one of the guys from the morning show, Ken Kostick. Apparently, this is Ken and Mary Jo used to do What's for Dinner, a TV cooking show of some kind on Lifetime or something like that. All right. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, eh? How you doing, eh?
Ken, you're in Toronto, Canada this morning, are you?
That's right, eh?
You sure sound Canadian. Hey, listen.
You're in Canada, don't you know, eh?
Mm-hmm. Right. So Proud FM is on the air. I guess it's been long discussed, but Monday
How
is the date.
How fantastic is that?
Well, I guess congratulations on that. It's always very exciting when a new radio station launches anywhere.
Let me tell you something. We're super excited about having it on the air.
I bet you are. Now, a lot of people would ask this question, and I'm sure you fielded questions from the media all week, Ken, is what's different for gays and lesbians? I mean, don't they enjoy hearing the same kind of music, same kind of current events, topics, things like that, that the mainstream audience would want to hear?
You would think so, wouldn't you? But in fact, what we've done is tailor-made a radio station just for them, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for instance, our morning show,
yeah,
it's called the Heaven and Lean Show, and it's about these two really buff guys who host the show in the morning.
The Heaven and Lean Show?
Heaven and Lean, yes. And Heaven, he, like, dyes his hair all blonde. He wears, like, a green pleather jacket.
Right.
And Lean, he's, like, this really buff guy who lives on this island and just works out all the time and has crazy sex.
I don't know where that came from.
How long have Heaven and Lean been a team?
Well, ever since they met at the White Swallow nightclub, I guess 15 years ago.
All right.
Okay, so that's the morning show, huh? But what about what Kevin said about all this different kinds of music that you play? I mean, does that work to play pop music and also classical and also dance all on the same station?
Absolutely. The gays have a wonderful wide variety of musical tastes.
Mm-hmm.
On our show, for instance, on our station, rather, you can, at any time of day, you can turn on, you can hear Hinder, Good Charlotte,
right.
Loud Boy.
Right.
Certain members of Judas Priest, Seconds to Mars, Dance Dance.
Wow, I got to tell you, it sounds a little like a station here in the States.
You know what? There's a sidekick on the Heaven and Lean Show named Sucko Mike.
Uh-huh.
You have no idea what you have to do to get a prize from that morning show.
Really? Wow.
But I really can't talk about it in American radio, eh?
Yeah, of course not, yeah.
Certainly, I understand, eh? Yeah.
Canadian radio, A is different, eh?
Right.
Do you have any women at all on the show?
Oh, of course. We have a large lesbian following, mm-hmm, as well. Right after Heaven and Lean, there's the Cat Clampett Show.
Oh.
She does a thing called Strap-On Flashback.
Right.
Where you call in, and then you pick a song from the 80s, mm-hmm, and then she straps something on, and then
right,
you get to listen in.
Okay, that sounds good.
I don't even understand how that works.
Well, I would tell you more if Don Amis hadn't been fired.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Right. It's probably not for us anyway, all right?
And, of course, everyone loves Jessie the Fish.
Jessie the Fish.
She's another lesbian.
Okay.
I want to tell you how she got her nickname.
Studio.
Yeah, I think we can.
Seagulls follow her home.
Oh, dear okay. God. Come on.
I've seen sea lions jump out of the water and try to eat her pants.
Okay, Kev, that's fine.
Okay.
Then, of course, we have late night programming, too.
Uh-huh.
We have Todney on the Proud.
You have what?
Todney on the Proud.
Todney on the Proud. Okay.
Yes. It would have been something else, but again, Don Imus,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes it hard, doesn't it?
And then we've got Gloveline on late at night.
Gloveline.
Yes.
And who's on that show?
Striker.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Got a great email, by the way, from K-Rock window licker Nick, who I think we have on the phone right now. It sounds like Nick may need our help, guys.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, what's up?
How you been, man?
I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm good, you know.
Nick, we've been friends for a long time. I think you pointed out the other day that you've been now a part of the Kevin and Bean family for over a year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've seen my fair share of emails from you, but I don't think I've ever seen you as fired up as you were in the email that you sent me this morning.
I can't do this version thing anymore. I need to get laid. Yeah. You know what else? On a grander scale of things, I need to grow up.
Nope. No, you don't. Nick, how old are you?
I'm 23 years old. Right now, I'm looking at my future, and I need more. I want to be more than I am. I want to be great. I want to be a winner.
So holding a sign and never getting laid is not your vision of the perfect future?
Yeah, it's not.
Yes, it's not.
I want to be a Laker, not a Clipper. And by Lakers, I mean Shaq and Kobe, not what we have right now.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Right.
Okay. Did something happen this week that lit this fire under your butt, Nick? Because your life has been pretty consistent over the last few years, but all of a sudden, for some reason today, you've decided you need to change it immediately.
It's been not immediately, but gradually over the course of the next few months. This is going to be a big few months for me. I'm just going to change a lot.
But, Nick, in your email that you sent to me, you said, guys, I can't take this anymore. I have to get laid this month in big capital letters. I feel like I need to end this virgin BS once and for all, and I need to end it now. It's like you're carrying this, you got this monkey on your back that you can't wait to get rid of.
Yeah, Peyton Manning had a monkey on his back, and now it's off, and look how much happier he is.
See, Peyton Manning's a lot happier.
True, yeah. He did win the Super Bowl. Yeah, you're right about that. So what's your plan, Nick? I mean, it's one thing to want to do something different, but what are you actually going to do? Like, what's your plan this weekend to try to make these things happen?
Probably where I'm going to start. I'm going to go to bars and clubs. I'm just going to meet women. I'm going to go out and meet women.
Okay. Women. You're going to go meet women. Okay.
You're going to play the numbers game just to meet as many as you can. One's bound to fall.
Yes. But
okay.
All in the numbers.
Okay. But after you meet them, Nick, what are you going to do then?
Probably going to get them drunk.
Right. Well, pick up some roofies on your way.
That's a great plan.
Jesus. That far, you know.
Oh, you'll get them drunk, but you won't drug them. All right. Yeah. You got your standards.
He does. Nick, I guess what we're afraid of is that date rape is not a policy. Okay, you understand that?
No, I'm going to be a gentleman. I'm a gentleman. I'm not here with the crack.
All right? Okay. All right.
All right, listen to more of Nick's email. And again, just on fire today. This whole window licker persona, it's a part of me. It's not an act, and I'm okay with that. But not getting laid, it's not so funny anymore, you know? I don't want to turn into the Armenian comedian of sex. Here's what I love about Nick. He's not just talking about this weekend. He's got a life plan now. Listen to this. I want weenie roast tickets tomorrow. Meaning what? You're going to try to buy them when they go on sale at noon? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sex within the month, meaning May. This is the month you're going to lose your virginity, right, Nick?
I also want to finish my screenplay within the month, too. That's another plan.
Dude.
Wow, that's a full month.
Dude, yeah, sure is. You don't understand what kind of numbers it's going to take.
Okay, he goes on. He expects and plans for a hot wife and a career in the movies in a few years because, by God, I want to win. I want to be Nick, the window-licking winner, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Good damn goals.
What do you when you say a career in the movies? That's as a screenwriter. Is that your goal, Nick?
Yes. I want to write stories, and I want to bring entertainment to people. I want to be great. I have this fear, of like the future is happening now. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that song from like the Scorpions, like the Winds of Change. You know. Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Of course we do.
Now, Ralph, why don't you, how about some fatherly words of advice for Nick? There was a time where you were a young man, maybe not 22, but you hadn't had a woman yet. How did you go about it? What kind of advice can you give for him as he goes out this weekend on his new adventure?
Well, when I lost my virginity, I guess it was nap time. I was in kindergarten. And we just had nutrition, and everyone was kind of laying down in the cloakroom there, and I just, you know, rolled over to Katie.
I don't think this helped. Because Nick's already 23.
You know what I'm saying, though, Ralph. I mean, he needs some confidence. I guess is what he needs.
He needs a hooker. Is what he needs. He needs a hooker.
Let's be honest. I'm gonna pitch
Nick.
In.
Just buy it.
No, I'm gonna go get it.
No, you're not. Trust me, you're not gonna get it.
Okay.
You're not gonna get it
today.
Okay, but
no. Listen, you have no shot. Pay for it.
Okay.
Get it out of the way.
You'll be
a lot better off. You'll be a lot better off of getting more sex once you get that first one out of the way because the pressure, you're just buckling under it. You can't handle it.
That's what I was going to say is you pay for it first, Nick, and then you keep going after it. But now you have a little bit more confidence and it might actually come your way.
That makes sense to me, Nick.
I'll pitch in. Bean?
I will too.
Ralph?
Is it the price? Is that the problem?
Are you actually serious? You guys would actually pay for it?
Well, no, it's illegal. First of all, it's illegal. So
that's right.
So we wouldn't recommend it at all, and we couldn't be any part of that officially on the air. But off the air, yeah, we can talk.
Well played, Bean. We've totally thrown them off the scent.
How's anyone going to know what we're doing?
They'll never know. So
it's about sex. It's about everything. Now.
Nope. But Nick, you have.
Oh, it can't be about everything. Pick one thing at a time.
You have to start someplace.
I'm just like, let's go change the world, you know?
Yeah.
Nick sounds like he's going to explode today.
No,
are you bleeding the lines at all, Nick? I mean, are you letting some of that build up out? I mean, come on.
No. I just feel like, you know, it's a new era that's coming for me.
But we're just afraid
your
eyes are a little too big. I mean, like, you want to be writing a screenplay while getting laid and then get married and be a movie producer within a month. It's not really...
I'm not going to do all that in a month, all right? It's over the course... My life is going to look very, very different by the end of summer.
Okay, that's fine.
But we're trying to help you do one of those things within a month.
Well, I can still, I can spend some time riding, then go out and get sex, hopefully.
Okay. That's the worst plan ever.
That's priorities. There's some good priorities for a 22-year-old virgin right there. I'm going to do some writing, and then maybe I'll think about going out and getting a woman.
Or maybe I'll just smoke a bowl and watch Spider-Man 3.
Which, really? By the way...
I'm going to do all of it. I'm just like... It's just a new era.
Nick, in your email, you said that you were going to get high and go to Spider-Man. Now... I got news for you.
That is not world-changing behavior, my friend.
Nor is it getting laid behavior.
Spider-Man 3, I've been waiting for months to see it. You know?
Right. We're not saying don't see it. We're saying that might not be a good start to the new you. That's all.
No, come on, Spider-Man. The new era starts after that. Okay?
After Spider-Man. Oh,
I take it back. No hooker for you.
Yeah, you don't deserve it.
Well, it's fine because you know what? I am growing up. I'm truly growing up. I'm becoming a man.
Okay, listen, Nick. Don't.
I'm becoming a man.
Please don't. Hey, when does your voice change, by the way? Because that's going to be very exciting for you. Listen, Nick. Please don't misunderstand. We're, as we've said to you many times before, you're part of the family. We love you. We care about you.
I love being part of the family. I love.
Right, and we're not against you. We're trying to offer some constructive advice, but I have a feeling like everything we say just goes right over your head. Like you're not even listening to us when we try to give you this advice.
What are you trying to tell me?
Oh, for God's sake. You might hear a guitar in the background. That's Brandon Davis. Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now, Brandon has been in the news a lot because he was with Paris Hilton, and they were talking, you guys were talking about...
disgusting, freckly Lindsay Lohan.
Now, I wanted to do a little bit of research because I wanted to find out exactly how you became famous, if you don't mind. So I went in and I was asking around, and your grandfather,
yes,
Marvin Davis, was in the oil business, right?
Yes.
And he owned the Beverly Hills Hotel. He owned the Denver Broncos. I mean, he was a billionaire. Yeah.
We're boss ballin' and shot callin'.
He owned 20th Century Fox, the whole thing. So the money just kind of came down. I don't think your dad did anything. I don't think you do anything. You just have money.
I'm a musician, and I go to clubs. I tan a lot.
You tan a lot?
Yeah, I like to sleep.
Okay.
But we hear that you're fat and sweaty and smoking all the time, and that's all you do.
I have been perspiring. I was at Mood last night till about 5 a.m. I just cruised in.
Is that
right? I thought I'd play some songs for you. I'm so compelled by the disgusting, repulsive fire crotch, Lindsay Lohan.
Okay, let me stop you right there, Brandon.
Yeah.
We've been hearing about this fire crotch for a long time now. Why so much hate for Lindsay Lohan? Did you used to date her, or what's the deal?
I would never date Lindsay Lohan. I used to date Misha Barton. Mm-hmm. And along the way, many times I've run into Lindsay Lohan, and she's disgusting.
Does she actually have a fire in her crotch?
It's an inferno. Okay. It's like the wildfires of the 909, but it's in between her legs.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Is it because she's not as rich as you? That's why you don't
it's
like her?
It's disgusting. $7 million, I think she's worth.
But Brandon, she actually,
might as well live on the streets.
That's a lot for the rest of us.
Herself.
Yeah, she earned that money. That's a good point, Lisa. She actually at least acted and sang her way into that money. You've done nothing for
even
yours.
More repulsive.
That she had to work
that
for
she
it?
She had to work for it.
Yeah.
God hates her. I was born with the money because God loves me. No matter how many times she dyes the hair on her head.
Mm-hmm.
Or her eyebrows. I know what's going on downstairs. It's a fire crotch.
Okay.
Fire crotch. Okay. Right. And is that what the song you've written is about? Is about her fire crotch?
I was working with Scott Storch, the producer who produced my friend Paris's album.
Yeah.
Right.
And I came up with the idea to do this this song, Fire Crotch.
Brandon, why are you wearing sunglasses inside? I don't understand what the point is of that, with
because
the hat pulled down over your face.
I was eating barbiturates with Omar for breakfast.
Okay.
And right. It's a little bit bright in here.
I understand. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So is this the world premiere of the new song? Is it called Fire Crotch?
It's only a rough cut, Bean. Okay.
Yeah,
I haven't really recorded it yet, but I thought, because you guys are friends, I'm always in the studio. Sweating with you.
Are we friends?
Yes.
Friends with you?
Okay. I thought so.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Okay. All so right. Well, I'm excited to hear the work.
So he didn't bring in a CD. He brought in his guitar.
I brought in my guitar.
Okay.
Because I'm a performer.
You are?
And I thought I'd sing a song for you.
I don't know that I've ever heard you perform.
You've never performed.
This might not go very well.
Right.
But that's okay.
It's a rough
because, like
version.
I said, I've only come up with the song. I haven't really recorded it with my friend Scott Storch.
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. Here we go. This is called Fire Crotch, right?
Yeah. Fire Crotch. World premiere.
You like that, Lisa?
Mm-hmm. So far.
It's pretty.
vagina is a freckly volcano. Shooting lava made a bright red pubic hair. Just imagine a hairy red tomato. It's enough to make a blind man stop and stare.
It's beautiful.
See, because it's ugly. But blind people can't see.
Right, we got that.
It's quite smelly in Armenians' armpits or two-day-old Chinese food. And her belly is engulfed in flames erupting from her fire crotch.
Oh,
it's disgusting. Go back to your cheap motel, you fire crotch, a stinky beaver. An inferno in between her legs. Her boobies look like two fried eggs.
Oh.
An inferno in between her legs. Verse number two.
Okay.
For you. Here we go. Her vagina is a cavernous debacle. A camel toe like a big banana split. Tell me please, Mr. Wilmer Valderrama, how could you bang that wrinkly old catcher's mitt?
Oh.
Like a catcher's mitt.
Right.
Beef curtains dangle with a space in between them, like the gap in Tori Spelling's breasts. When she don't wear panties, there's dandruff on her toes.
Oh.
Erupting from her fire crotch.
Ah, that's beautiful.
A red-headed taco. Go back to your cheap motel.
Sing it if you know.
Fire crotch. A stinky beaver. An inferno in between her legs. An inferno in between her legs. Her boobies look like two fried eggs.
Wow. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Brandon,
thank you. Thank you.
Lisa,
thank
that
you.
Is lovely enough to put on your iPod with all your James Taylor, I think.
Can you imagine a more beautiful ballad? Oh.
I think you're supposed to let us say how good it is. We're supposed to say that.
You like you, don't you, Brandon?
I need some volume to calm down from that electrifying performance.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm sorry. Ralph is not available. It is only I, Optimus Prime, here to do the showbiz beat. The Autobot showbiz beat.
Yeah.
I will defeat you, Megatron. Hey, what's up?
Ow. Rocking the Transformers voice-changing helmet. That's what I'm got. That's what
sounds
I got right
awesome.
Here. Doesn't sound great? Today, of course, is the day Transformers officially hits the big screen. There were some screenings last night at the Arclight Cinemas in Hollywood. They were running them all night long leading up to this morning. So there's a very good opportunity that some of you have already seen Transformers. In about half an hour, I will be doing my review of Transformers and a special holiday edition of the Movie Beat. We'll be talking about that film as well as the new hilarious Robin Williams comedy.
Oh. License that
to
look good.
So we'll talk about that as well.
Ralph, I have some audio from the Transformers soundtrack, which is features a lot of K-Rock bands like...
Yeah. I think that's our K-Rock Transformer tribute band, isn't it? Is that Megatron?
No, it's Chili Peppers.
Oh, is it Chili Peppers? It's always so hard to tell the difference. All right, let's talk about Josh Hartnett, shall we?
Let's.
It's tough to be him. According to Star Magazine, he's single these days. He's dating Penelope Cruz, but according to the magazine, his friend, supermodel Helena Christensen, wants to set him up with Rosario Dawson.
Nice.
That's his life. That's how he rolls.
Really?
I know you're dating Penelope Cruz right now, but wouldn't you like to have sex with Rosario Dawson too, Josh?
Oh, all right, if I must.
Twist my arm.
God, why didn't I become a movie star like my mom wanted me to?
With a giant mole on your neck.
With a giant mole on my neck. Chicks dig the moles. Jennifer Lopez has announced she is now tired of the nickname J-Lo. Can you imagine? She says it was meant to be fun, but now it's got out of control. She said it's all part of her past now, like the rumors of her temper tantrums, her insisting on Egyptian cotton sheets everywhere she went, each hotel. Now she plans to take on more serious movie roles, and so she wants to leave J-Lo behind. Well,
you can imagine, it breaks my heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't really see the subtle and delicate nuances of her acting if with a moniker like J-Lo.
She wants to be serious now. When I think of all the time I've spent dedicating myself to Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
When I think of... I have a pretty full life. I've got a full day. I work here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I've got other stuff to do at home. I've got responsibilities.
Sure,
and yet,
sure.
I found time to put Jennifer Lopez into my showbiz beat all the time.
Did you?
Okay. I went out of my way for her. Now she's giving me this bad news. I guess it means there isn't always room for J-Lo.
This just in. There is no more room for J-Lo.
Yay.
Wow. Wow, it's kind of sad.
Putting that one to sleep, are we?
I guess we're going to have to. J-Lo's spoken. Cameron Diaz says she's staying out of Chris Angel's divorce proceedings no matter what his wife's lawyers have to say about it. I've been talking about it this week that Joanne Sarantakos, wife of Christopher Sarantakos, Chris Angel's real name, alleged last week that Cameron had an adulterous relationship with her husband of 5 years. Surprise, surprise. But Cameron Diaz's publicist says that Chris Angel and his wife had been separated over a year before she got cuddly with Chris Angel. Anyway, it's history, according to Cameron's reps. Cameron and Chris only went on 4 dates over a month ago, and they have no current relationship. Now, we'll see whether that'll keep her out of the courtroom or not, but I'm guessing...
Does she really get a choice?
I'm guessing if they subpoena her, she's going to have to show up.
Oh, no. She's a whore.
Well, that going for her, too. And finally, some good news in the world of reality television. Paula Abdul's new reality show, Hey Paula, over there in Bravo.
Yes.
Only about 600,000 people watch that show. 600,000 people for a national TV show is non-existent. You might as well say no one watched.
And that comes on, I think that gets a lead-in from Top Chef, which is monstrous.
Yeah, monstrous numbers over there. So no one wants to see a reality show about Paula Abdul.
Oh, and Paula Jones goes down!
Yeah, not Paula Jones, Omar. It's Paula Abdul. It's a different person.
Just watching you. I feel what you're just feeling so much joy. And it's exciting. I feel I'm one big goosebump. And I just am so excited for you because look at you. I mean, this is it for you. This is it for you. You're so important.
What the hell does that even mean?
Moment with Paula.
How bad is Jessica Simpson's new movie, Blonde Ambition? Have you seen the trailer for this?
You
owe it to yourself. You got to go online and see the trailer.
Well, Ralph, typically in Hollywood, when a movie gets pushed back over and over again, isn't that good? Isn't that a good sign?
That's always a good sign. New York Daily News says her dad, Joe, who was also her manager, of course, has delayed its release date yet another time. It was supposed to be released sometime in July, then August. Now it's been pushed back until September because Joe said he wasn't comfortable with the level of competition from other films that month. Look, if there were no movies coming out in a month and you released that sucker, it still wouldn't make any money. Yeah. Trust me, she does that in the trailer. No. I'm not kidding you. Jessica releases a big belch.
She should really just stick to like action films where she's in the periphery in a fur bikini.
Yeah.
And a big pickaxe.
Like one of those old 60s caveman movies where she just walks around and
play to your strengths is what I'm saying.
Yeah, this is a romantic comedy. It's a remake actually of the movie Working Girl with Melanie Griffith and Harrison Ford. And trust me, just watch it. Go
is
watch
it. The,
you can find it on YouTube.
Is it Owen Wilson? Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson, yeah. How he got roped into this, I have no idea, but it's pretty horrific.
Poor bastard.
And in new relationship news, Sienna Miller's got a new boyfriend, according to the Daily Mail tabloid out of the UK. Apparently, she is hanging out with Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs.
Really?
How about that? They've been caught a few times in the wee hours of the morning in the UK, and they were hanging out all over each other Sunday night after Britain's concert for Diana. Reportedly, the two hooked up at a London nightclub. And Puff Daddy's even been known to serenade Sienna in public.
I know this is my second broadcast to y'all from the bathroom, but have you ever had to take a piss real bad? The feeling of just the release is something that truly can't be explained.
No wonder he captured such a classy young lady.
Suave young gentleman.
He is a silver-tongued devil. And speaking of big concerts, like the Princess Diana concert, of course, 7707 this weekend will mark Live Earth, the big Al Gore concert to raise money to, of course, deal with the global climate crisis. It's happening on seven continents. Starts off in Sydney, Australia, concludes here in the U.S. The list is just too long for me to tell you all the bands are going to be playing, so I'll just give you a few highlights. The U.S. show, which is Giant Stadium in New Jersey. You got AFI, Dave Matthews Band, Fall Out Boy, Smashing Pumpkins, Taking Back Sunday, The Police. In the U.K., you've got Beasties, Black Eyed Peas, Duran Duran, Metallica, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Snow Patrol, Spinal Tap. Speaking of Spinal Tap, by the way, in case you didn't hear, I mentioned it yesterday. You can have dinner with the guys from Spinal Tap.
What are the bids at?
To raise money for this very same charity, the guys from Spinal Tap and Rob Reiner, director of that film, are auctioning off an evening with them. Just you and those guys at dinner.
Oh.
It's at eBay. You can go to Spinal Tap Dinner. If you put that in the search engine, it'll show up. A little over $5,000 right now, the biddings.
Did you bid?
I did. Yeah.
Mind me asking what you put up?
I bid five.
100?
5,000.
Really?
It started at 2,000. The bid started at 2,000.
That's right. The minimum was 2.
So I started, I put 5 in, because that pretty much was my ceiling. Well, my wife kicking my ass for spending money stupidly. And within minutes, someone came along and topped my bid.
Well,
so I'm out of the running.
You gave a shot.
But I did. Yeah, if you're interested, go to eBay. You can bid on that. The Australian show, Jack Johnson, Wolfmother, Brazil show. You've got Pharrell and Lenny Kravitz. Germany's got Chris Cornell and Snoop. Japan's got Linkin Park and Rihanna. South Africa's got Joss Stone and UB40. I mean, it is really the biggest concert ever, I think.
All right! Is this Godhead or what?
Rodney will be there.
He will. He's
doing the China show.
I hear, yeah, he's going to introduce Metallica.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Today's celebrity birthdays. Thomas Gibson, who played Greg over there on Dharma and Greg. He is 45 years old today. Montel Williams, talk show host. He is 51 years old today. You ever hear the story about Montel Williams, how he was misdiagnosed with breast cancer and they took one of his pectoral muscles?
No.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Wouldn't that be like the worst nightmare for you, Psycho Mike, if they took one of your pecs and you were just all lopsided on one side?
Now, yeah.
They misdiagnosed him with male breast cancer and they removed one of his pectorals and it turned out that they were wrong.
Oh.
So now he's missing a chest.
I mean, I guess it's better than being misdiagnosed with testicular cancer, but...
Yeah, I guess it is, but still.
That sucks.
Because he was... For you, that must be a nightmare.
He was kind of a buffed out dude.
Yeah,
to
former
Navy
guy. Yeah, it was a big event in physical fitness. Yeah, that sucks. A little trivia about Montel Williams. 51 years old today. Kurtwood Smith, who played Red Foreman, the dad over in that 70s show, he's 64 years old today. And Tom Cruise. Tom celebrates his 45th birthday today. I guess they'll drop the spaceship, and he'll get on there and fly around and visit Xenu and stop by the volcano and write him a big check.
Something we can't understand, but it'll be a good party.
Yes. Take some vitamins and some exercise, and he's going to rock out. He's 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I've never seen a story that made me happier than Immigrant Mountain Theme Park.
And wait till you find out what happens when we called him.
Because it was really good.
Funny, too.
We got a guy that we didn't expect to answer.
So, you're thinking of vacationing in Mexico this summer? Have we got a theme park for you? You got to check out the Echo Alberto Park. Looks like this is a good time, huh, Kevin? Sounds like something you'd like.
It does. It's odd, though. I'm surprised that it's not getting more people upset. And we did some checking. We're not positive if it's true, but it looks true. A BBC News report says that this is a place where tourists can go to pretend to be an illegal migrant. And basically what happens is you get ready, and it's at nighttime, and a guy named Pancho says, "Vamos, let's go," and they all start running. And then the police come after them later with guns. They're firing blanks, and it looks like they're crawling through bushes
oh
and
my God.
Going through tunnels, and there's a heavy flowing water stream that they have to cross. And if you get caught, you get arrested. It's the whole thing.
So it's like war games. It's like the geeky yes. guys who play army on the weekend, but this one you pretend to be crossing the border, say, from Mexico into the United States. So you're swimming the Rio Grande yes. and you're going through the Arizona desert and you got the La Policia after you and you just are just going for it.
The equivalent of $19.50 here in America. You can spend a night living like millions of Mexicans who actually risk their lives crossing into the United States. That's the point behind the park.
Fantastic.
Wow.
You know, I'd like to make a point before we talk to our guests, because I understand producer Lightning has lined up somebody from the park for us, and that is that I didn't cross the border. The border crossed me. Okay, I just want okay. you to remember that.
All right. That's a good
so,
tip.
So what's the deal with the Echo Alberto Park? Let's go down to Mexico and find out with our correspondent on the scene here on the world-famous K-Rock. Good morning. Welcome to K-Rock.
Thank you for calling Migrant Mountain. My name is Rudy Cisneros. How can I help you?
Rudy?
Rudy?
Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean, Rudy. Kevin.
Oh, what's up, eh?
How you doing?
Hey, what's the chances, Holmes? What's happening?
What are you doing down there?
Oh, dude, I got a job, eh? Look at me. Check me out, eh? Picture me Rudy. Pimping, eh? Like, I got a job down here. They call me up. They're like, we need a consultant, eh? To, like, help us make it more Chicano, you know? Like, to help us, like, get an American perspective from a Hispanic. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm down. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm
Rudy.
Just down here chilling, like, you know,
why
making
is it-
waves.
Every phone number we call in Southern California, doesn't matter if it's in L.A. or San Diego, or we call Mexico, we call Chile, we call anywhere, you're the guy who answers the phone. I mean, can you not keep a job?
I got holes in different area codes, you know what I'm saying? I move around town, you know what I'm saying? I'm making waves.
So you're working at the Echo Alberto Park?
You could call it working, I guess.
Okay, well,
not right now, necessarily.
There's our pal, Rudy, yeah. Now,
you know, I'm like, they ask me questions about stuff, you know, like, it's an amusement park, I guess. They want to, like, emulate, you know, crossing the border,
right.
you know?
Right, right.
But, like, right now, it doesn't have much to offer. You just run around for a while, and then you go swimming, and guys blast at you, you know, with fake guns.
Right.
And then you go home, you know what I'm saying? So they really want to develop it to really, draw, like, you know, people, like, tourists that come down, they want to go to an amusement park, oh,
so,
eh?
So it's not a done deal? They're still putting
oh, no, man.
And,
like, it's working right now, but, like, we're constantly in construction trying to develop it
okay.
and, like, get more attractions and rides, you know? So it could be, like, a big-time amusement park, you know what I'm saying? So, like, instead of you and your hyena, you could say, hey, let's go to Magic Mountain, you know what I'm saying? Let's go to Disneyland. You're like, let's go down south, eh? Let's go to Migrant Mountain. Let's chill
Migrant
out. Let's
Mountain.
Bone out. Let's go there, you know what I'm saying? So, like,
okay.
they call me up. You guys want to hear, like, what we got, like, in the work? Right now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm still trying to get my head around you being a consultant for anything.
Nah, man, I got crazy ideas, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I get all blunted, I start thinking stuff up, you know? And they're asking me, like, you know, like, what's a Hispanic lifestyle? You know, we want to emulate Hispanic lifestyle, you know what
but,
I'm saying?
But, Rudy, why would a company in Mexico with a theme park in Mexico need to go to somebody else to find out about the Hispanic lifestyle?
They want to come to America, you know, so they want the American Hispanic lifestyle, you know?
Oh, so they need
okay.
your perspective on it.
So, you
the
know
immigrant.
Got, like, amusement parks, they have the Haunted Mansion?
Yeah.
We're going to have, like, your mama's mansion.
Your mama's mansion.
It looks like
mansion.
Your mom's house. You just sit on the couch and watch the Raider game. She comes in. You're like, she's like, you're 33 years old. Go get a job, eh? And you have to just sit there and smoke blunts all day. And then, like, you know, then just, that's it.
Is there
just, yeah, she's like, you got to get a job. You got to go move somewhere else. You're a grown man.
Is there an endless Raiders game on a loop?
Yeah, you just watch a game and you just smoke blunts. It's pretty fly, you know?
Okay. I thought you'd like that.
They have Autotopia. You know,
Autotopia,
like the cars,
okay.
they come around and, like, they give you a ride.
Right.
But this one, the cars come around and you have to fix them.
You have to fix the cars.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I only got one wrench. Look, I have to fix this Regal. Oh, man, that's crazy. What a crazy ride.
Okay.
They have the people mover, too.
Oh, the people mover.
Yeah,
okay.
But this one, it's like a Chevy truck, and you sit in like a fake Home Depot, and the guy's like, get in the back of the truck. Hey, I'm going to take you somewhere. And you get in the back of the truck. He drives you crazy places. You go, where am I going, eh? He's like, just shut up. Work hard, eh? $10 a day.
Right. So you jump into the back of a truck with like 40 other park
yeah,
patrons
pretty,
and just go
yeah,
wherever
yeah,
they take
yeah,
you.
It's fun. You just sit there. You're like, you get to the front of the line, and then if a Chevy truck comes up, you're like, clean. There's all these vatos in the back. You're like, what's up, Charlie Holmes? And then you go, jump in. And then you get in. You drive around.
Wow.
It's pretty sweet.
How about that? That sounds
then,
great.
Like, instead of Pirates of the Caribbean, we got Pirates of the Carabiner.
Sure.
It's pretty fly, you know, because, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, there's, like, the robot puppets that, like, running around and, like, ooh, I'm a pirate.
Yeah, exactly.
But this one's got girls with, like, the eyeshadow, like, all drawn in, and like, their lipstick, they're like, the baby's yours, I swear. And you're, like, in a little... But then you don't have no boat or anything. You don't have a boat. Instead, you wear jeans in the water because you're like, I don't wear swim trunks. I'm a Hispanic. You just walk around in water, and there's shit. These are the hyenas coming out with crunchy hair. They have crunchy hair, and they're like, I'm going to get you. The child is yours.
Well, you know, that's awesome, Rudy, because it sounds like maybe there's some work for Sad Girl down there at the park, too.
Well, I brought that hyena with me, you know
oh,
what
you
I'm
did.
Saying? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right,
and then, like, you know how they have the Bear Country Jamboree?
Oh, sure, yeah.
We got Bear Country Slow Jamboree.
And what's that?
You just play slow jams. I guess I have to really think that one out a little more. But, like, you go to a mountain where there's, instead of, like, Huggy Boys there and Art LeBeau, and they play slow jams.
Right, they just bring out the doo-wop records and you dance, right.
You don't really dance. I haven't thought that one out yet.
You might want to work on.
Hey, party people, it is the long weekend ahead of us, 4th of July weekend, and of course, several of the movie studios is trying to get you to spend your entertainment dollar in a movie theater this weekend. Two major motion pictures released today. One of them is amazing, is worth every penny, is a triumph of movie-making genius.
License to Wed.
The other one's License to Wed.
Oh, yeah. Ralph.
Yeah. Let's talk about that first, shall we? Robin Williams is not funny anymore. Maybe he never was. I don't know. I was a kid watching Morkman. He used to make me laugh, but maybe now he just isn't funny. Because this thing looks horrible.
It really does. It looks like a joke.
It looks like you will become less funny if you go to see it. It's anti-funny. It'll suck funny out of you. And I feel so bad for John Krasinski from The Office, who is one of my favorite actors on television, is a funny, funny guy.
And Mandy Moore.
Mandy Moore, who's a charming, lovely, talented actress and singer. Right. And they are stuck in this turd that stars Robin Williams as a wacky preacher who apparently has to decide whether these two kids can get married or not and puts them through a series of hilarious comedy tests in order to see if they're ready to get married. Because apparently he's been her preacher since she was a little girl, and he's a little wigged out because now she's a woman and she's going to get married.
Right.
So some weird sort of creepy reverend jealousy there or something. I don't know. The whole thing is just wrong on every level. But not the least of which is Robin Williams doing his patented shtick where he pulls you right out of the movie because he's just doing wacky comedy bits. Like this one. Where Reverend Frank, played by Robin Williams, is quizzing his young students about sin.
What kind of sins are we dealing with here, guys? Sarah.
Thou shalt not commit adultery?
Adultery. Going out for milk when you have perfectly good jugs at home. Show me adultery. Underneath the sheet. Okay. Now, a lot of people ask me, what if I'm cheating with a woman who's really, really ugly? Does that make it all right? No, it does not make it all right. It is still a sin.
Come on! Who said this is a good idea? Yeah, let's make this movie and Robin Williams should play the Reverend, and that'll be funny.
Of course.
Holy crap. He is... You know what? The only thing he's good at anymore now is playing serious roles. When he takes on a serious role and stops with this lame-ass, stream-of-consciousness BS comedy, right, he can actually be a pretty good actor. If you look at Good Will Hunting, his performance in that, another movie he made called Dead Again, he was really good in that. Insomnia with Al Pacino.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's got some acting chops, but no more wacky comedy.
And you know you're going to get those interviews over the weekend on all the entertainment shows with John Krasinski and many more, and they're going to say, it was so hard to keep a straight face.
Working with Robin is just, he's a genius. He's just
gifted.
A comedy genius, and I can't tell you what a pleasure it was. It's going to school. It's like going to comedy school working with Robin Williams.
His urine cures cancer.
Look, maybe working with Robin Williams is funny, but watching him is not funny. So maybe what we all need to do is just work with Robin Williams. Maybe Robin's just go around and just hang out with us and work with us all over America. That would make us laugh, but it doesn't make us laugh when he's up on a movie screen. That's for sure.
So you're saying just don't film him.
That's right. He should just go on tour and do little things in everyone's workplace, because apparently working with him is just an amazing experience, but watching him, not so much. So F License to Wed, is what I'm saying.
Okay,
much.
I will.
Now let's talk about the other movie that's coming out this week, shall we?
Sure.
First of all, let me put on my Optimus Prime voice-changing helmet.
While you're doing that, little musical interlude.
I am Optimus Prime. You should go see my movie, or I will leak lubricant all over your home. Because I am a giant robot, and I can pee oil on you.
Yeah, Optimus Prime. This week, I got a chance to see the Transformers, as did Psycho Mike. We went to a special K-Rock Advanced screening, and I'm telling you, Psycho, what is your opinion first before we get into it?
I thought the movie was fantastic. Like you and I and Omar were talking about just a couple moments ago. So much behind this movie as far as hype-wise, and you have so much invested in it. If you grew up watching the cartoon and playing with the toys and everything, it delivers.
Yeah.
It's I can only imagine it was like when Star Wars came out in the 70s, or for me, when Terminator 2 came out, where you said you went into it knowing they were going to do revolutionary stuff with computer-generated graphics and things. But you came out going, I still can't believe I saw what I saw on screen.
Yeah, it's a remarkable achievement in terms of technical special effects work in motion pictures. And I'll tell you, I've made a hobby almost out of hating Michael Bay and his films, because almost uniformly they're all crap. Almost invariably they are style over substance, to the point where everything looks great on the screen, but he pays no attention to script or character development or acting. This movie, I think, is saved by the fact that you've got Shia LaBeouf in there, who is a terrific actor.
He really is.
Megan Fox is beautiful to look at, but she's also very talented. You've got John Voight. You've got a lot of actors there who ground the film and give it a sense of reality that really help you enjoy sort of the more fantastic parts of it. It's a tremendous film, and you will just be glued to the screen. It's almost 2.5 hours long. It's a pretty long action-adventure film. It may be actually could do with a little trimming. I thought maybe towards the end, last half hour, kind of gets redundant. You see, after seeing the robots battle and battle and battle, you almost get numb to it because Michael Bay has never met a special effects he didn't like. You know?
Right.
So it tends to drag a little bit, but I think overall it is tremendous summer holiday blockbuster fun. You know, that's exactly what you want in a big popcorn movie this time of year is that kind of film. Yes, yes, Lightning.
I was the same screening as you, and I knew very little about Transformers. I was blown away. I was glued to the screen, as well as my two-year-old.
Your two-year-old son?
Sorry, five-year-old. See,
do you know how old your children are?
Yeah, well, I've got the two that drive me nuts.
Can you not tell them apart?
The five-year-old was glued to the screen.
Five-year-old loved it. Well, there you go. So it's good for little kids. It's good for kids who grew up with the Transformers back in the 80s, and it's good for kids of all ages, let's say. But, yeah, I recommend it highly. It really is, like Psycho Mike was saying, one of the rare films that has so much hype surrounding it. It almost, you figure it's impossible for it to actually deliver the entertainment value it's promising. But this actually does. And again, I think a large part of it goes to Shia LaBeouf, who's just funny and charming in this movie. And the special effects and the robots and the actual transforming that they do, it is like magic. You can't believe it's happening right in front of your eyes.
Well, if you really analyze this movie, you step back and analyze this, it's about things that transform from everyday objects into big robots and fight from another planet. This could have so easily gone wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, it
could have been an embarrassment. Trust me, it's not a perfect film. There's a few clunky moments in it. They try to do this whole comic relief angle with John Turturro playing a bumbling government agent, which I think really fell flat. It was completely unnecessary. There's a few clunky moments where they try to be cuter than they need to be. But overall, you will be impressed by this film. Here's a quick scene from Transformers in which John Turturro, as I mentioned, plays Agent Simmons. He's questioning Sam, played by Shia LaBeouf, and Sam's friend stops by at the end of it.
Last night at the station, you told the officer your car transformed.
Here's what I said, that my car had been stolen, but it's fine now because it's back. It came back.
So what do you kids know about aliens, huh?
Gentlemen, I want to introduce you to my friend, Optimus Prime.
That's right. There I am. That's right. I am his friend, Optimus Prime.
That's a lot of work for me.
Having some trouble
off.
With your little trouble with the helmet, Optimus?
Good stuff. My recommendation, obviously, this weekend is go see Transformers. I'm sure it'll be sold out today, probably tomorrow, but maybe Saturday or Sunday, be able to get in there and check it out. You will definitely have a great time. And given the temperatures it's supposed to be this weekend, might be a nice way to spend a couple hours inside an air-conditioned movie theater.
Or go to church. Because get out of the heat. Church is nice and cold.
Thank you, MC Hammer. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Cut. That's a wrap.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Have you been following the story about the pandas in Thailand that won't have sex? They're trying desperately to get them to have sex so that they can continue the, you know, The pandas.
Species, yeah.
Well, pandas are notorious for not procreating, and especially in the wild. It's very, very difficult to get them to mate. They have low sex drives to begin with. They're one of those sets of animals that only has sex like once every couple of years or something like that, and very rarely does it end in a pregnancy, and it's very, very difficult. That's why they're on the endangered species list, partly.
Just because they won't do it with each other. Now they're putting one of the pandas on a diet because he's too heavy. He'll crush her if he has sex with her. Yes. So they're putting them on a diet. So we thought we'd check in Thailand with the zoo. Good morning.
Hello.
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 Is this the Thai zoo?
Yes, this is Thai zoo.
Well, we're calling to ask about the fat.
Who's laughing there?
It sounded like somebody on your end.
No, I think it was your end.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Is this a zookeeper at the zoo?
No, this is Cheng Cheng.
Oh, this is the panda.
Yeah.
You're the fat panda. Okay.
Yeah, panda.
First of all, Adam Carolla got a lot of trouble for saying Cheng Cheng. Are you sure it's okay for us
on
the
air? No, that's his name.
That's my name.
Oh, that's your name. Okay.
I think he got trouble saying Ching Chong.
Which is not. That's completely different.
Cheng Cheng is different.
Okay.
Okay.
Very different.
You are not only a fat panda, but you speak English.
Well, not so well. I try speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I learn from porn films.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because it said some of the people there at the zoo in Thailand were honestly considering showing you panda porn.
Yes, to teach me how to put Wing Wang and Ding Dong.
What? What is panda porn? Where do they exactly get that from?
Well, pandas show up at door and say, "You here? I deliver pizza for you."
Right.
Then woman panda say, "Come in. Would you like some bamboo?"
Right.
And panda delivery boy say, "Yes, but I have a stock for you right here."
I see. Okay.
They have the same porn music we do.
It's universal.
How about that?
But
Cheng Cheng, is the problem that you need the porn because you don't know how the pieces fit together? Or is it, as I understand, that you're just too fat for your mate?
Well, they show me porn to give me idea.
Right.
But the only idea I got was to eat more and just take care of business myself.
To have pizza. And, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he did.
I just kick back and wax on, wax off.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
How much weight do you need to lose before you won't kill your partner having sex?
I got to lose about 10 kilograms.
How much is that?
I don't know.
In pounds.
In pounds. I don't know. I am not from your country.
I see. Okay.
You
right.
Do some math.
I don't know how to do that.
Lazy motherfucker.
I'm sorry, did you say frack?
Fracker, yes.
Okay, fracker. Just
oh, you're watching the Battlestar Galactica too. I see.
No,
okay.
That's all.
Maybe that's the problem with your sex drive.
Maybe.
Yeah. Cheng Cheng, don't you feel like you have some obligation to keep the species alive, though?
Nope.
I mean, really, because worldwide, pandas are an endangered species, and it seems like we need panda babies, and that's in your department.
That's tough. Tough darts.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm living. I'm living my life.
Is Mrs.
I can't worry about the species.
Is Mrs. Panda not attractive to you?
She needs a wax.
No.
She's a hairy bitch.
Well, she's a panda. She's a bear.
But still.
Not a woman.
Hey, come on. You know? Clear cut the forest a little bit down there. You smell like a zoo.
Oh.
Or maybe it's the zoo.
Yeah, that could be. You're in the zoo, so that could be it.
I think the problem is my cage keeper keeps feeding me too much.
Oh, is that right? You keep eating too much.
He gave me this thing called Thai stick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but it tastes good.
Yeah? And that makes you want to eat?
It makes me want to just lay around and eat.
Yeah.
And not have so much bang-bang with Ling Lo.
Yeah, that Thai stick, I think, is pot.
What?
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning. Final report of the day. What's going on, Ralph?
It is the final report of the best of Kevin and Bean. Before we leave to take a little vacation break for the 4th of July, I want to wish each and every one of you a very safe and happy 4th of July holiday. Don't blow any fingers off with your fireworks. Be very careful. Don't stick a sparkler in your butt or anything, because that'll hurt.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah, but you shouldn't do it. That's what I'm saying. Let's take a look at some of the showbiz news before I take off. Nick Lachey and Vanessa Minnillo.
Ooh, ooh.
Naked pictures of the two of them playing around in a hot tub on vacation in Mexico have made their way to InStyle magazine. However, according to sites close to the couple, sources rather close to the couple, the photographs that you see, albeit censored, are not the only ones taken of the two in the hot tub. They were doing more than just soaking.
Yeah.
Apparently, there was some hardcore sex going on in that hot tub. And there's some photos that exist of that. And as of yet, sadly, they have not reached the internet, but we can still hope. PerezHilton.com says that the couple has retained a lawyer to keep the shots out of circulation. So we may not be able to see them.
If you're him, do you really have a problem with those getting out?
I don't.
You know what I'm saying? Sticking it to Manilo.
I want to see some Vanessa Manilo.
I do too, but you got to see penis. Like, I'm willing to take that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, one of the photos in InStyle is him climbing out with his butt, and they've got that censored as well. So, sorry, Psycho Mike, you don't get to see Nick Lachey's butt.
Well, yeah, I'm willing to take that milk with the cookies. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're a good sport. That's what she said.
Hey.
Lindsay Lohan celebrated her 21st birthday party yesterday at a Malibu beach house. Her family showed up with all sorts of designer gifts and bottles of Patron. No, I kid. Of course, she is in Still Promises Rehab, but she got a little time out to celebrate her birthday. She looks good, too.
Yeah.
She looks healthy. She looks clean. She looks sober. And apparently, she's committed to the process. The New York Daily News is reporting that she is moving out of her old apartment because it was party central when she lived there. And she doesn't want to be around that type of tempting element after she gets out of Promises and returns home. So she's going to a new house for a new start. And of course, we wish her all the best.
Sounds like this broad's serious, so good
for her. Look, of all the celebutantes, she is obviously the most talented. So we would all serve, I think, by having her clean up her act a little bit. PETA's got a new target. Well, several, first of all. Last week, PETA came out with a scathing letter against Michael Moore, director of the new documentary Sicko.
Really?
Yeah, they attacked him for being fat. I'm not kidding. They said there's an elephant in the room. We need to talk about Michael, and it's you. They said obviously he is not a vegan because he's so fat, so right. He must eat all kinds of animal products.
Tons of animals, I'm imagining.
Right, probably live animals.
Yeah.
Probably like Jabba the Hutt. He probably reaches into a jar, pulls out a ferret, and just goes, and just swallows it whole. But since when are they the fat police? Isn't it bad enough? They crawl up our ass every time someone puts on a fur jacket. Now they got to start worrying about what people weigh.
Yeah.
None of their beeswax.
I agree, because there's plenty of fat vegans, by the way.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's ludicrous.
And now their new target comes out today. They are after Hollywood producer Joel Silver. Apparently, while shooting his new film Speed Racer, the actor chimpanzee who plays Chim Chim bit the actor who plays Spritel. Word was on the set that the trainer beat the chimpanzee after he bit the little kid. Now, they are denying those accusations, but PETA believes them to be true nonetheless, saying they should use an animated monkey instead of a real monkey in the Speed Racer film, and they have no business using living things to make their movies.
It's not an animated film, is it?
No, it's a live-action version of Speed Racer, the famous cartoon, and they've got an actual chimpanzee playing Chim Chim, the chimpanzee. And he bit some kid. Now, the filmmakers are saying the actor was chomped, but no animals were being abused. PETA says their denials are meaningless because they're PETA and they know everything.
Of course.
So I'm going to go out, and this weekend for the 4th of July, need a bunch of hot dogs because that'll piss PETA off.
But you mean actual dogs.
Yeah,
you're going to
yeah.
put a bun around like yeah. a schnauzer.
Right. I'm going to get my a dachshund, the legendary hot dog, and I'm just going to woof it down. Just like Michael Moore.
After raping it.
How dare you, sir?
We might as well.
I rape cats.
Oh, okay.
I do not rape dogs. Dana Delaney may be joining the cast of Desperate Housewives. I think she's a delicious-looking older broad.
She is.
She will be playing a older woman who has a much younger husband on the show next season. This according to Hollywood Reporter. Here's a piece of trivia, by the way. Dana Delaney originally cast as Bree on that show, the role that later went to Marcia Cross.
Really?
But she turned down the pilot. She passed on the gig. Smart move. Smart career move for Dana Delaney. Apparently she's trying to make it up.
She was too busy doing other things.
Yes. And Gisele Bündchen apparently is getting ready to be a stepmom, according to In Touch magazine, since her boyfriend Tom Brady's ex-smoking hot girlfriend Bridget Moynihan is expecting. Giselle's going out buying tons of designer baby clothes for when she and Tom get to spend time with the baby. If this kid is a boy,
right?
And you got Bridget Moynihan as your mom, and then Giselle Bundchen's going to be your stepmom.
You're such a sexual deviant.
You go through puberty at like 8 months,
right?
And you get pubic hair in your diapers.
What do you have to do?
Pubic hair in your diapers, by the way, opening up at the Live Earth concert this weekend, I think.
You know when you discover that your friend downstairs can take on different shapes and forms when you feel different things? And that usually happens at a certain age.
You're talking about the Transformers?
I'm talking about Little Ralph.
Yes. How dare you, by the way. He's never been Little Ralph.
At what age does that happen if you have those
two
as your stepmom?
And
then what do you have to do to kind of get excited by the time you turn 14?
Right. Who are you going to have to take to the prom in order to,
prom? No.
To achieve happiness.
Gangbang films.
I'm saying it's going to ruin you for all women forever.
Yeah.
So that's why I keep saying ugly women should have children. And, of course, as I mentioned, the Live Earth concert happens this weekend. I wanted to give everyone a heads up. It is on television if you want to sit in front of your TV for 70 hours and watch all of it, like Dave the King of Mexico is planning to do. Here again is a quick little recap of the lineup for the big concert, which, of course, is raising awareness and money.
Give it to me.
For the climate crisis charity. Here we go. It is 7/7/07 is the date of the concert. Happens across seven continents, starting in Australia, ending here in the U.S. The U.S. show's got Akon, AFI, Alicia Keys, Bon Jovi, Dave Matthews Band, Fallout Boy, John Mayer, Kelly Clarkson, Ludacris, Smashing Pumpkins, Taking Back Sunday, The Police. The UK show's got the Beastie Boys, Black Eyed Peas, Block Party.
Jesus.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Foo Fighters, Duran Duran, John Legend, James Blunt, Snow Patrol, Spinal Tap. The Australia show's got Jack Johnson, Wolfmother, Brazil show, Lenny Kravitz, Pharrell. The China show, Dave claims, has no one of interest. He didn't give me that list. Germany's got Chris Cornell and Snoop and Shakira. The Japan show's got Linkin Park and Rihanna, and South Africa show's got Joss Stone and UB40. So you may want to check in sometime on the 7th.
It's unbelievable.
See a couple of those acts, because I'm guessing it's going to be quite the show. Today's celebrity birthdays, Connie Nielsen, very talented actress from Gladiator, most recently from Law & Order, SVU. She is 43 years old today. Thomas Gibson, who played Greg on Dharma, and he is 45 years old today. Montel Williams celebrates his 51st birthday today. I didn't even know he still had a talk show until today. I looked it up. He's still on television.
I did not know that either.
He is flying low, below the radar. Kurtwood Smith, who played the dad on That 70s Show, and as Psycho Mike is quick to mention, also it was in RoboCop. He is 64 years old today. And Tom Cruise, our good buddy Tom Cruise, who occasionally likes to sue people. We wish him the happiest of birthdays.
I bet he's taking so much pharmaceutical drugs.
No, oh no, he's not. Because he doesn't do that.
Vitamins?
Vitamins and exercise. And I'm sure he's having a very heterosexual birthday with his...
with women.
With women that he
sex
loves to have sex
chicks,
with.
Oh, tons of them.
Can't, well, no, because now he's married.
Oh, no, because he's
Holmes.
Monogamous.
But before then, oh, was he sure to love the ladies, that Tom Cruise. Have a good 4th of July, everybody. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. F*** you.
What is that all about? What are you doing here?
Here's why it used to be cool to work at K-Rock.
Okay. All right. What do you got?
Used to. Look. There's the one thing that we've learned from doing this show for as long as we've done it is that it doesn't matter what you talk about. Somebody will be offended because there's a huge group of people out there who are looking to be offended. So if there's something that you find funny as a listener, somebody else is offended by it.
Right.
Always. Always. That's always the case. Whatever it might be, if we're making fun of this guy, people will stand up for this guy. If we're making fun of that guy, they'll get their feelings hurt. And what you find offensive, other people are offended, not offended by.
Right.
Right. Like you think the jokes about the gay guys are hilarious, but then somebody makes a joke about a stroke victim, all of a sudden that hits too close to home. You're personally offended and vice versa. So you're right. No matter what you do, somebody's going to be upset. But who's upset with us now? I've not seen any strongly worded letters come across the desk.
I'm upset with us now. I'm upset with our station because we're starting to blow. And I'll tell you why. We're starting to give into this, hey, if it offends anybody, we shouldn't do it.
This isn't coming from because we got the whistling guys on the weenie roast. That's not what this is about, right?
No, that has nothing to do with it.
Okay, what are you talking about?
It has
about
to do with our commercials that we've been doing for K-Rock.
Yeah.
During the day, we do commercials for our morning show. And yeah.
The little Kevin Amin promo announcements that
and
we
try to make them funny or whatever. Most of the time, they're not. But that's not the point. Whether they're funny or not is not the point. Whether they're offensive or not, our station has decided they're going to start editing all of them. Which means we don't have to do anymore, which I'm excited about.
Oh, really?
It's less work for us. The one over the weekend that we did for Coachella, we were going to do a Coachella recap. Mm-hmm. And the comedy, again, whether you find it funny or not, was that I'm going to call in sick because I'm not going to be able to do it. So I'm trying to find diseases that I have so
right.
I can call
right.
in sick.
You knew ahead of even going to Coachella that if you went and stayed through Rage Against the Machine Sunday night, you were going to feel like crap Monday morning. And you were planning ahead of time, how can I get out of coming into work on Monday?
So here's what we recorded to run over the weekend. Hey, I'm going to Coachella, but I don't think I'm going to be here Monday because I'm coming down with impetigo.
Yeah, nice try, dumbass. That's bleaching of the skin.
You don't want to miss this Monday morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We're rolling out all the details at 7:15 for K-Rock's Weenie Rose to Fiesta 2007.
I got it. Elephantiasis of the nuts.
Kevin, goddammit.
KROQ.
All right, that's what we recorded.
That's how I remember. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Apparently, Kevin, goddammit, which I do understand does offend some people. I'm aware of that. I know that it makes people feel uncomfortable. But see, what we've gotten away from is understanding that shows like this are not just for you specifically. We kind of broadcast to a lot of people. And other people find stuff funny that you don't, and you find stuff funny that other people don't. And if we try to edit it out so we don't offend anybody, we end up Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah,
so somebody got offended by the South Park, by
Kevin, goddammit.
That's what they got upset about?
None of our listeners, our management, edited that out.
Yeah, we've played
no
that
kidding.
Lots of times.
No,
in the
but
past.
Not yes, we
not
have.
In,
but,
not in that, but.
But the problem, and I understand that some people do bristle at goddammit. I understand. I do get that. They didn't even beep God. You know, Kevin blank, damn. They just took the whole thing out.
I see. Okay.
So that was number one. Number two, everybody here is familiar with You're Killing Me, Larry, because we play those commercials on a daily
because
basis.
Because Sit and Sleep is a terrific sponsor of the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, and we like them very much.
No, you've gone too far, Mr. Miller.
Irwin, is that you?
Yes.
Irwin, you're a cross-dressing CPA.
And you're a double-crossing, double-discounting mattress madman. Because you're killing me, Larry.
Okay, so that's the commercial. We've all
tremendous
heard
ad campaign. We all love it. Am I right?
So Bean and I say, let's parody that. Let's do something with that. Again, whether it's funny or not is not the point. Whether it's offensive or not is the point. So this is us being idiots and parodying that commercial.
K-Rock.
Kevin, I hope you heard the announcement on our program this morning about K-Rock's Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2007, May 19th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater.
Another concert? You're killing me, Bean!
See, because we just got back from Coachella weekend.
Right.
And we are exhausted.
I never thought, by the way, that our commercial could make their commercial look so good.
Yes.
Yeah, this year's K-Rock kills us.
Yeah.
Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2007 has 15 bands for one low price.
15 bands?
Yeah, including Linkin Park.
You're going to make me Lincoln broke.
Okay, that's that's dumb. We can admit that right up front.
Plus the Killers.
You're killing our profits.
Also 30 Seconds to Mars.
I'm 30 Seconds to Bankruptcy.
Oh, shut up. Tickets go on sale Saturday at noon. We've got more you can win tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
KROQ.
Okay, that's what we recorded.
So like Larry kills Irving in the commercial, I kill Irwin. I kill you because you're so annoying. That's the point of the spot, right?
So the guy that wears his watch on the outside of his pants here at the station, everybody that works here knows who that is, he found that offensive. He was afraid that people would remember, this is yesterday, by the way, people would remember the Virginia Tech shooting and be offended by the fact that we had a sound effect of Bean shooting and killing me when we were doing a parody of You're Killing Me, Larry. So he took that out.
Wait, hold on a second. But he understands that I didn't really kill you, right? He knows that.
I'm not sure. I don't know. He took that out and he made Omar change it to this.
To 30 what? Seconds to bankruptcy.
Oh, shut up. Tickets go on sale Saturday at noon. We've got more.
See? Instead of a shot and a death, it's just punching.
It's you're punching me, Larry? That's what we're down to?
That's what he made Omar change
it
to.
But
no.
It's you're killing me, Larry.
No, it's not.
You're killing me, Larry, so...
By the way, we're going to require Larry to change all of his commercials as well to punching.
Well, I guess
you're
we
punching
have to.
Me, Larry! Because somebody... See, here's the thing. We understand that people are offended from time to time, and you have the option of changing the station. We hope you don't, but you do have that option.
Sure.
When you start changing your content because you're afraid somebody might be offended, you haven't even heard from anybody yet. You're just afraid they might be, then you've lost everything.
Omar, who was offended besides the guy with the watch on the outside of his pants? Is he the only one, or did somebody hear it and not like it that was somebody else?
It didn't air. I have to get it approved.
It never aired with the shooter. Aired,
right.
So it was just
so there wasn't anybody out there. There wasn't a tearful Virginia Tech mom that called and said, "How dare you? I just lost my son in a massacre."
No one.
And then we said, it's really more of a parody of "You're Killing Me, Larry," which all of our listeners know. No, we didn't say that. Wait, I'm
and
sorry.
And love, by the way. No, and love.
We edited it out before it ever aired.
Wow.
That
and changed
is unbelievable.
It to punching.
That's disturbing.
That hurts.
This station used to be cool. When you start trying to second guess who's going to be heard and
no
change
kidding.
All of your content, literally, you have lost.
Kevin, goddammit.
No! No!
Kevin,
30 seconds to bankruptcy!
Oh, shut up. You're slapping me in the face, but it doesn't really hurt because that would be violent. It might offend somebody, Irwin.
Oh, dear God. Oh, dear hell. No. I got to tell you, man, this guy, this Ace of Cakes, he is a mean mother effer.
Oh, he bakes like there's no tomorrow, man. Check it out. Why is the Food Network the hottest channel in America all of a sudden? What the hell's going on?
Well, they're bad on a lot of levels.
Or could.
Last hour we were talking about this Rachel Ray, who I know nothing about.
Yeah.
But Omar hates so much he cut her picture out of a box of Wheat Thins. Now we're going to talk about, we played a commercial the last couple of days, and it's really, really difficult to ignore it when we play commercials like this. I mean, we listen to it and we say, no.
This can't be true.
No possible way. There is.
Oh. Ace of Base, right? We're talking about Ace of Base?
No. It's the Ace of Cakes, Bean. It's the Ace of Cakes.
Yeah, not the same thing.
Oh, I misunderstood. This is the guy who calls himself the Ace of Cakes we're talking about.
Yes, yeah. He's the bad boy of baking.
Ooh.
All right, well, let's hear his commercial. What's
Listen
he all about?
To this.
What do you get when you mix one part rocker with one part welder? And oh yeah, throw in a pastry bag. Meet Duck. There's no cake he can't make. Follow the life of Food Network's bad boy baker in an original series that takes the cake and blows it up.
Okay.
Duff.
So,
really?
Duff is the bad boy of baking.
I didn't know such a thing existed.
There's no cake he can't make. Let's say good morning to Duff Goldman. Good morning, Duff.
Okay, all right. Oh, listen, Duff, doing a radio show, you're going to have to watch your language, but we do have it right.
Okay, you are man. I'm the bad boy cakes, man. I'm the Ace of Cakes.
Okay, but aren't you just making cakes? I mean, you can be as bad a boy as you want, but at the end of the day, it's really just a piece of cake, right?
Oh, man, I play by my own rules.
But
I'm not the normal baker. I'm the bad boy of bakers, man.
What makes you the bad boy of baking?
Man, I don't play by your rules.
What? I don't have any rules for baking.
I make my cakes my way.
Right.
Sometimes I make a cake and it needs flour.
Yeah.
I use unsifted flour, man.
Oh, my God. Now I
That's
see where
crazy.
You're coming from.
I'm an outlaw.
But isn't the point of these shows, these cooking shows, and the point of just making a cake, isn't it just to make a cake that sounds, that smells good, tastes good, looks good?
That's it. You don't get it. I'm expressing myself through my cakes.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you need drills and chainsaws to make a cake. Just get yourself a cake pan and a spatula and a measuring cup.
I'm f***ing insane, man. I'm the Ace of Cakes. I'm the bad boy of baking.
But, Duff.
Sometimes I preheat an oven. Supposed to be 350. I'll go 355, 400. I don't care, man.
Wow.
But then,
crazy.
Don't you burn the cake?
Shut up, bitch! I can do what I want. I'm the Ace of Cakes.
All right, listen.
I'm a car and it must be dealt with.
Listen, Duff. Here's the thing. Cake, it seems like baking to me falls in the same category of, I don't know, sleeping or meditation or having afternoon tea. There's no bad boy of any of that stuff.
Oh, you don't know shit, man. I baked the out of these cakes.
How do you do that?
Oh, man, I don't care, man, because I'm crazy. I play by my own rules. Hey, right now I've got a souffle in the oven.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't care about the noise, man. Let it fall.
If I were to have a blind taste test between a cake that you make and a cake that, say, Rachel Ray, who's also got a show on your network.
Rachel Ray?
sister.
Listen,
oh, geez.
Listen,
that's
Duff,
not what we're talking about at all.
Duff, we have to watch our language. We're on the radio.
I put my chocolate log right in her oven. You know?
Oh, okay. Duff. Duff.
Who's a better cook, though? Whose cake would taste better is my question to you.
Mine, man, because mine's built with insanity. Craziness.
All right, well, it sounds...
I make a butt cake?
Yeah.
I don't even put nonstick spray in the pan.
Are you kidding me?
Stick. I don't care, man. I'm the ace of cakes. I'm a card that must be dealt with.
There's one thing I've learned through the years. It's when Bean hypes a story, the more he hypes it, the worse the story.
Well, let's find out if that was true this time.
Very worried about this.
How dare you?
I have found throughout my life that the more Bean hypes a story,
yeah,
the greater the story is according to Bean, the worse it is for everyone else. It's inversely proportionate.
This could be good. So this could be the day.
It could be the worst story ever, I'm saying, because he's saying,
right,
I can't wait, I have to talk about this story. To me, that means avoid.
He never, ever has a good story?
Sometimes
he has good stories.
I bring it. Come on. When I say to you I have something awesome that needs to go on the air, at least be honest and admit that it's usually awesome.
That's hard.
It's awesome meaning what?
Meaning either great or awful?
Meaning entertaining for us and the kids.
It can be totally awful, in which case, you know.
Who wants to put some cash up that this is the greatest story ever? Or in your case, that this isn't the greatest story ever.
It's not the greatest story ever.
I got a dollar says this is awesome.
You want to back
thank
him.
You,
right.
Psycho
Bean
Mike.
Junior,
I appreciate
thank you.
That.
Well, then I have to bet against you.
Thank you.
He's been on a streak lately. With running out of gas and crashing Marty's car and stuff.
No, this is the best. This is
Lightning
fantastic.
Has a dollar against or for?
Four.
Okay, so two.
Do you know what it is?
No, I do not know.
All right.
Wow, a little bit of confidence from Lightning. Or did he just want to get on the air so that we would look at him? I wonder if that's what was going on.
Now you heard his feelings.
Lightning!
All right, do we have the Bean Reads the News jingle? Do we have that standing by, or is that not ready yet?
Unfortunately. What do you mean you're not ready yet? You've been telling us for a half hour. You got to get this on the air right now.
I just asked, do we have the Bean Reads the News jingle, or is it not ready yet?
Oh, I thought you said, because I'm not ready yet. Okay, sorry.
How dare you.
I'm just nervous.
Wow.
I'm very nervous.
This could be a great story. You guys are going to love this. This is going to be one you're going to tell your grandchildren. That's how good this story is.
Wow.
I'll bet another dollar I'm not going to tell my grandchildren.
We may run out of time. I may not have time for the story because the setup is so big. All right, Bean Reads the News. I'm just going to read the story as it's written. It's an actual real-life news story that is in the on the news wires today, okay?
So you're saying it's a real news story.
That's what I'm telling you, yes. Okay. And it's the greatest story in the history of the world ever of all time. Okay. The man who said, I'm just going to read it as is. I'm not going to, no embellishments.
You
haven't
mentioned that yet.
Maybe you should do that then.
The man who said the story is going to seem like.
I'm going to punch you right in the face.
It's going to seem like it's heading in a bad direction, but it's going to get itself out of there and it's going to turn around and it's going to be awesome.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
The man who said he owed it to his victims and society to die has been granted his wish of execution. Tuesday morning, Robert Charles Comer became the first inmate in the state of Arizona to be put to death since November of 2000. Now, this is the part where you're going to think it's going in a bad direction, but don't worry. In 1987, Comer was convicted of killing a camper and raping a female camper in front of her boyfriend. Last month, the Arizona Supreme Court issued an execution warrant for Comer, meaning they granted his request to be executed. Monday, the Supreme Court refused to postpone the execution, and yesterday morning at 10:03, Comer was strapped down and injected with a lethal substance. He was pronounced dead at 10:08 a.m. Robert Comer took a picture of his daughter with him to the death chamber, along with the three people that he requested to be with him. A witness said he had a smile on his face. At one point, said the witness, after phase one, he raised up his arm as if he were saying goodbye. He seemed calm, said another witness. He seemed to be accepting. He didn't put up a struggle, just seemed to be going along with what was happening. Comer's last words were reportedly, "Go Raiders."
No! No! Oh, my God.
You can have my dollar.
Me too.
Go Raiders? Is that true?
Yes.
That's the best.
Yes.
The guy's not even going to be around to see the Raiders anymore. But he wants to wish them well. How is that the last thing on his mind?
God in heaven.
I love the Raiders and their fans so much. You should see his picture. He's a Hispanic guy. He's got the shaved head. He's got the big bushy mustache. He's got all the teardrops. He's got like five teardrops, you know, tattooed onto his face over his left eye. Go Raiders, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Comer's last words. This has been the greatest story in the history of the world of all time ever. Thank you very much.
You won the money.